Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes and open our heart and help us to understand the message that we're going to hear. And I pray that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and how you move Dr. Luke to understand what he see and what he hear and put it down in writing so as to teach us the lesson. We don't have to go through the same kind of pain and suffering. And I pray that you help us to understand it so that we can walk in it. Indeed, we can truly be blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Daniel, could you help me to put the screen of the map? So the title of this sermon is Disobedience Suffer Great Losses. Disobedience Suffer Great Losses. Okay? And I think this is what Dr. Luke and help us to understand that. Okay, could you move so that I can start from here? Okay? In here, Paul was locked up in Caesarea. Okay? And then take one day journey. The ship moved from Caesarea to Sidon. And keep moving along Cilicia, Pamphylia, and then stop here. Myra, and this ship is from there. Adamantium. This ship is supposed to be all the way to go up here. So the centurion say that, okay, we stop here and change the ship. That ship is Alexandria's ship. Is an Egyptian ship. This ship from here to go to Italy. To go to Italy here. So the centurion say that, okay, we change ship from here. And then the ship supposed to go like this to Italy. Because of the storm from here, moving here because of the storm, the ship cannot keep going like that. The ship was forced to go like this. And then by the time anchor in here, Paul give them a warning. We better stop here. But in this place, it's not a good place for winter. And then they all think, who are you, Paul? You are a criminal. Why should I listen to you? They don't listen to what Paul's suggestion. They say, well, we anchor in here, but this is not a good place for winter. So they make up their mind. They ask the pilot. They asked the owner of the ship, who asked? The centurion. And then the centurion listened not to Paul, but listened to the pilot, listened to the owner, and listened to the majority of the people. The majority of people say, we don't stop here because this is not a good harbor. We stop in here. This is a very short distance, only one day trip. They think they can make it. And then they get south wind. Wow, they get opportunity to come. Lo and behold, when they don't listen to Paul's advice, the ship's supposed to go from here to here and then drifted to here into this island. And ever since then, in here to all the way to here, the 14 days journey, they're about to lose their life. Okay? Now, when the pastor say to you something may not be convenient to you, most of the time, we ignore the pastor teaching. But in here, in this lesson, Acts chapter 27, we see the result within 14 days. Sometimes you don't see the result within 14 days. You see the result within 14 years. Okay? By the time 14 years later, you don't even know. The decision that you make causes you suffer and pain. Okay, now let me read that. You get the picture? From here, from Caesarea all the way to here, it's not a long distance, but because of the storm. That storm, God allowed this storm to happen to prove it to all the people in the ship that Paul is God's servant. If you listen to him, you won't suffer loss. If you do not listen to him, you suffer loss. Okay? So, from here to here, it takes 14 days. And they are about to lose their life. That is from Caesarea all the way to here is Acts chapter 27. From here all the way to here, and then Roman is Acts chapter 28. So today I only stop at the mortar at this island, okay? Now, let me read that to you to see whether this is what God say, and then we learn from this lesson, see, so that we, whenever you hear a message of suffer loss, you always ask the pastor, I don't want to suffer loss, okay? Could you tell me what's the best way to do it? So you listen carefully. And that is what Dr. Luke is recording in Acts chapter 27. Let me read that to you. Acts 27, verse 1. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, because Paul said that I have to be judged by Caesar. I have to go to Rome, right? Rome. So that's why he sailed for Italy. Paul and some other prisoner were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belongs to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramyttia. Adramyttia? No, I don't need the English. Keep the map, okay? Because whenever I read that, you have a Bible, right? You follow after that, okay? In Caesarea, okay? That ship is from this place. So this ship is from Caesarea all the way to here. So that's why when he go to Mitre, and then he got stop here to change the ship, okay? Verse 2, we boarded the ship from Adramyttia about to sail for port along the coast of the province of Asia. Of the province of Asia is, this is Turkey, okay? And we put out to sea. Aristarchus is the Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with him, was with us. So in other words, I want to see whether I get the time. If I get the time, I will talk about obedience. We gain a lot of benefit. Who's obedient? Aristarchus. And later on, Paul said to him that he's my fellow prisoner. And then he said, Aristarchus was with us. In other words, all those people that who follow Paul, they left Paul already. Only Aristarchus was with us. Who is us? Us is Paul, Timothy, Silas, okay? And all the other people gone home. Because when they see Paul suffer pain in the prison, Aristarchus go with Paul all the way. He is from Thessalonica. Okay, if I got time, I will talk about this fellow. But my emphasis is disobedience suffer losses. Verse 3. The next day we landed at Sidon from Caesarea, and one day journey to go to Sidon. And the centurion Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed Paul to go to his friends so that his friends can provide food, money, and all his need, okay? And in verse 4, from there we put out to sea again from Sidon and passed to the lee of Cyprus. This is Cyprus. And last year they have what you call a financial crisis. This is the Cyprus, okay? This Cyprus is where the what's the name of that? Barnabas, you know, one of the apostles was born in Cyprus. And the ship did not land there, but go by the lee of Cyprus, because the wind were against us, verse 5. When we will sail across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia. That's Cilicia, go through this place, Cilicia and Pamphylia, okay? And then, we landed at Myra in Lycia, in verse 6. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board, verse 7. We make slow headway for many days and have difficulty arriving off Calidius. Calidius is this place. Takes a long time. Okay, after boarding another ship, takes a long time. This is only one day journey, but take them many, many days. Okay? This is the warning sign already, so that, but they don't see the warning sign. They say, well, it's natural. Okay? In verse 7, we make slow headway for many days and have difficulty arriving off Calidius when the wind did not allow us to hold our course. We sail to the knee of Crete. It's supposed to be from here to here, and supposed to be all the way like that. But because of the wind, forced them to go this way. Because they don't have a motor. It's all by the wind. So the wind forced them to go this way instead of going that way. Okay? And verse 8, we move along the coast with difficulty. Okay? And then in verse 7, is that they have difficulty arriving. Okay? And now, Dr. Luke mentioned the word difficult, with difficulty. And then came to the place called Fair Haven. And then from here to here, Fair Haven. It's supposed to be go that way. And now has to go this way. Stop at Fair Haven, near the town of Lycia. This is the Lycia. This is the Fair Haven. Okay? And then verse 9, much time has been lost, and sailing has already become dangerous, because by now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them. I want you to circle the word. If any people warn you, you have to be careful. If Paul warned you, you have to be even more careful. Listen carefully. Don't use your own wisdom. You know what? If they heed Paul's warning, we have no suffer loss. Because they ignore Paul's warning, and that's how they suffer loss. In verse 10, that's what Paul say. Man, I can see that our journey. He didn't say we can see that. He said, man, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss. First of all, loss to the ship. Secondly, loss to the cargo. Thirdly, loss even to your own life. Verse 11. But the centurion, the one who guarded him, instead of listening to what Paul said, the centurion chose to follow the advice of the pilot and the advice of the owner of the ship. And since the harbor was not suitable for wintering, okay, to winter in, the majority, I want you to circle the word majority, verses 1. Paul gave the warning. Majority ignored the warning. The majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach fitness. Listen to me. This is not a, they all know, this is not a good place for wintering. But Paul say, stay there. It's not convenient, but you save your life, you save your ship, you save your cargo. Don't use your brain. Use your heart to listen. But they don't. They say, well, this place is a good place for wintering because this is a good harbor. Okay? They say, from here to here is only one day journey. Ignore what Paul say. We do our own thing. So they want to go from here to here. Lo and behold, listen to what the Bible say. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping. It's a wishy thinking, okay? Hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. And this was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. This is a good place to winter there. Verse 13, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. I think this is a good opportunity to go. The south wind helping us. Okay? So that they weigh anchor and sail along the shore of Crete. Sail along the shore of the Crete. This is what they plan. And then 14, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called Northeaster swept down from the island. The wind going this way, so you can't go along, and then end up the ship go that way because of the wind. Brother and sister, most of the time, when we disobey God's word, we won't see the consequences right away, most of the time. But this one is just within a short hour, and they see it right away. You know what? You know why I say within this a few hours? Because the pilots should know better. If they know that the storm come, he won't do it. Am I right? The pilot is experienced pilot, right? On my way back from New York, you know, if it is in Asia, I think we will board the plane. But since we are in America, there are three major airport. One is LaGuardia, one is JFK, one is Newark. And they all shut down. I look at the sky. It's okay. But the weather say the storm come, and they just stop it for safety. So the pilot should know better, but in Asia it's different, okay? Even the storm come, especially in Taiwan, they keep going. You know, that's why they have a lot of accidents, okay? So I can see that. When the pilot, when the owner of the ship, because this is their own property, of course they look at the sky, they say, I won't do that. But because the sky is clear sky, right? My wind, the wind is heading south, this is exactly what they want. Lo and behold, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called Northeaster swept down from the island, and the ship was caught by the storm and could not head it into the wind. Could not head it into the wind, that means you cannot move as you like to anchor here. And that is disaster. Okay? Sometimes, you know, when you read the Bible, and especially the entire chapter, chapter 27, is only to learn one message. Disobedience suffer loss. And the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. Out of control now. Verse 16. We passed to the lee of the small island called Cauda. This is a small island, Cauda. We were hardly able to make the light boat secure. Light boat normally is there's a big ship, and a light boat is with a rope tied, it's follow the ship, okay? And they have a difficulty, because of the storm, they have a difficulty anchoring their light boat. That means they are in deep trouble, okay? So verse 17, when the man has hoisted the light boat aboard, they pass the rope under the ship itself to hold the light boat together, fearing that they would run aground on the sand on the sandbar of Cyprus. They lower the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. That means the ship is out of control now. And in verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. It's a fulfillment of one of the first prophecy. First prophecy, you lost the ship, you lost the cargo, and if you keep going, you lost your life, okay? Now, they lost the cargo now, because when they found out the ship is out of control, they want to save their own life. The best way is to throw the cargo overboard. Verse 19, on the third day, they threw the ship tackle. The tackle is the one that they go for fishing, all these equipment, they throw them. You know what? When you lose your life, all this thing is no use. You understand? Hey, when you are still healthy, all this thing is valuable, cost money, right? And you want to keep it. But when you find out that if I lost this, can save my life, I will lose it. Brother and sister, lesson number one. If we think that this place is unsuitable for wintering, but it can save our life, it's not suitable, it becomes suitable. Does it make sense? Then you won't suffer loss. But they don't. They all live by sight. They don't live by faith. So that's why they suffer loss, okay? They not only throw the cargo overboard, on the third day, they threw the ship tackle overboard with their own hand. Verse 20. When neither sun nor star appear for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Even the pilot, even the owner of the ship, after many days, they're out of control. They don't see the sun, nor do they see the star. They finally give up all hope of being saved. Verse 21. After the man has gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, You know why? You know why they don't eat food? When they realize that they lose their life, eating food doesn't help you. They just don't eat it. They have no appetite for eating food. Okay? When you enjoy your life, you can eat food. When you're about to lose your life, you don't eat food. Okay? And then Paul stood up before them and said, man, you should have taken my advice. I want to circle that, my advice. In the previous is my warning. You should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. Now, what do they lose so far now? They lost some of the cargoes, not everything. They lost the tackle, the heavy stuff, okay? And verse 22, but now I urge you. In other words, God is good. When we suffer a little bit of the loss, that is the time to turn around. I can understand, based on what we see by sight, this is not a good place. I can understand the majority of people say we can make it. This is a short distance from here to here. Okay? That's why they ignore Paul's warning. I can understand. Okay? And besides the weather helping him, lo and behold, when they start doing it, the hurricane comes. It's out of their mind. They don't realize it. And now,
somewhere along in here, after many days, and Paul stood up, say that, don't worry, they're still wait to save yourself, because they lost all hope of saving themselves, right? Now we have to save ourselves. How can we save ourselves? Don't worry about the ship, don't worry about the cargo. As long as we can save our life, that will be good, right? And that's why he stand up and say that. When you follow a good apostle, and that's how he saved your life, okay? And then he say, by now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Nah, I want to circle that. Not one of you will be lost. And that's what they hear right now. But in verse 20, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. You understand? When you gave up all hope of being saved, you're going to turn your ear off what Paul trying to say. You know what? A disobedient people is like this. When you tell them not to go, they go. When you tell them to go and they don't go, you understand? Okay? So that's why Paul said to them, keep up your courage. Don't worry about your life. Not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Okay? And he didn't have to mention about the cargo because he keep throwing the cargo off, okay? If you lost your ship, that means you lost everything anyway, except your life. Verse 23, the reason why Paul is so confident, because the angel of the Lord appeared to him and talked to him. I want you to write that down right beside here. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of dangerous situation, Paul is a God faithful servant. And that's how Jesus Christ proved to all the people that Paul is a chosen instrument. And Paul is the one God loved. Why God loved him? Because he loved God also. He obeyed God. According to John chapter 14, verse 21, if anyone who loved Jesus, he will obey what Jesus said. If you love Jesus, Jesus say, I love you too. My Father loved you too. On top of that, we will appear to you. And how Jesus appeared to him? Jesus sent his angel to appear before Paul and tell Paul what is going on. Now I want to go back. I want to go back to 27, verse 10. Man, I see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own life also. When Paul say, I see that, he see it with the help of Jesus. He didn't see it out of his own saying. If he see out of his own saying, this kind of dangerous situation won't happen. You understand? Because the pilot know that. The owner of the ship know that. You understand? And because it is God moving Paul to say that. But the people don't know that. They don't ask, why you say what you're saying? You understand? I ignore what you're saying. I keep on doing what I'm doing. And then they suffer loss. And then we keep going. Last night, verse 23, an angel of the Lord, whose I am, I belong to God. That's why he appeared to me. And whom I serve. I serve God. I serve God faithfully. The angel of the Lord stood beside me last night and talked to me and said, do not be afraid. That's why I tell you, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. In other words, somewhere along here, the angel of the Lord appeared to Paul. You will stand trial in Caesar. That means you will go to Rome. How can he go to Rome if Paul died? If Paul is alive, all those people will be alive. Okay? You must stand trial before Caesar in Rome, and God has graciously given you the life of all. I want you to circle the word all. All of them is 276 life, as it is recorded in 37. The angel of the Lord said to him, God being gracious to you, Paul, and God given you 276 light who sail with you. Okay? Not even one will be lost. Verse 25, so keep up your courage, man, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. I want to repeat this statement. So keep up your courage, man. I have faith in God that it will happen. It will happen means in their mind, all of them finally gave up their hope of being saved. But God said, 276 people, all of them, not even one will perish. And Paul believed that we will be delivered by God. We just lost the ship. We just lost the cargo. But our life will not be lost. And I believe what God has said will happen. I want you to circle this and then write Isaiah chapter 44, verse 26. Isaiah chapter 44. Verse 26. Who carry out the word of his servant? Who is that who? In verse 24, this is what the Lord said. Your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. What is his name? I am the Lord who has made all things and who alone stretches out the heaven. He made this storm to come and that you don't see, who spread out the earth by myself. And he is the one who carried out the word of his servant. And he is the one who fulfilled the prediction of his servant's message. I read that again. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who carried out the word of his servant Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ is to fulfill the prediction of his messenger Paul. Whatever Paul say in Acts chapter 27, when he give you this warning, because I want to prove it to all of them, among the 276 people, he is my messenger. He is my servant. Whatever he predicts, I will make sure that it can be fulfilled. Whatever he say, I make sure that it's going to be carried out just like what he say, so that you can listen to him. Now I want to stop here. If he predicts that this voyage is going to be a disaster, you listen to him, you spare the losses. Unfortunately, they don't listen. But through their losses, they gain their life back. Why I say that you gain their life back? Because through these dangerous, disastrous voyages, they know, wow, this man is different from all other men. God is with him. Whatever he say, God can fulfill. We better listen to him. So when he talk about, oh, there's no other person can save you. Only Jesus can save you. By that time, they will open their mind and say, I believe in what Paul said. There's no other salvation except through Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? Jesus Christ tried to prove through the storm, through the losses, tried to prove who is God's messenger, who is God's servant. You listen to him, you won't lose your life. Do I make myself clear? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 26, Jesus Christ, the only one, carry out the word of his servant. Paul is a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Whenever Paul preach, whenever Paul say, he won't say his own word. He will say God's word. He fulfilled the predictions of his messenger. Because when Paul speak, Jesus Christ listened to what he has to say. He could compare what he say compared with what the Bible say. And Acts chapter 27, verse 25, Paul say, "So keep up your courage, man, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Whatever Jesus told Paul through the angel of God, he know that it will happen. Because if I, a Gentile pastor, if I know Isaiah chapter 44, verse 26, how much more Paul will know the Bible than Pastor John Lamb? Okay? So that's why when he say, that's why when Paul wrote the Second Corinthians, he say, "I don't live by sight, I live by faith." I live by faith, that means he store up God's word within his heart. Whatever he do, he follow Jesus' footsteps. He follow God's written word. Okay? So that's why God carry out the word of his servant, fulfill the prediction of his messengers. In other words, these Bible verses, Isaiah 44, verse 26, if you store up God's word within your heart and you walk in his step, and this fulfillment will come into your life. Verse 26, "Nevertheless, we must run aground and on some island." That means we will lose the ship and we will lose the cargo. Verse 27, "On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Aegean Sea." This is the Aegean Sea, okay? The entire is Mediterranean Sea, okay? This is the Aegean Sea. They lost control already of the ship, okay? When about midnight, the sailor sensed that they were approaching land. They took sounding and found that the water was 120 feet deep. And then a short time later, they took the sounding again and would be dashed. Take the sounding again and found that it was 90 feet deep. Only a short time from 120 feet deep to the 90 feet deep. The sailor know what happened. Know that exactly what Paul saying will happen. They will run aground on some island, okay? Fearing that we would be dashed aground, the rock. Now, verse 29. You know why he's fearing? Because the sailor only believed the partial message given by Paul. Paul said that, "Nevertheless," in verse 26, "we must run aground on some island." When he hear that Paul said he will run aground, he's worrying about running aground, and the sailor know that if you run aground, if you hit the rock, all will lose their life. Okay? He's worrying about hitting dash against the rock, so they drop Paul anchor from the stern and pray for daylight, because they can't see it, okay? The ship drifting, okay? And then verse 30, "In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailor let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchor from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldier, 'Unless this sailor stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.'" This time, the centurion and the soldier listened to Paul. So the soldier cut off the rope that hold the lifeboat and let it fall away. They listened to Paul. Lifeboat will not save the life of 276. But keeping the sailor within aboard, all your life will be saved. This time, they listened. I want you to write that down. All those questions who listen to the pastor is the one who has already suffered loss. When you suffer loss, you'll be obedient. You can listen. All those people who disobey, keep on disobey, they haven't seen loss yet. But when they see loss, they're going to lose their life. Okay? Even though we obey God, we cannot be proud. Because the reason why we obey, we suffer loss already. We don't want to keep on losing it. We know His word is powerful. Right? And then verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, ever since the storm come, for the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. Now, can you imagine from here to here, it takes 14 days? But I measure this journey. You know what? From here to here, it's only 3 days. 3 day journey. I'm sorry, it's only 1 day journey. Okay? But if the wind's helping you, you measure the distance, it's around 3 days. You arrive the place, end of 14 days, and not going anywhere. We want to go to Italy, and then end up hitting the island in here, right? Nobody knows. But they are fasting. They lost their hope. They don't want to eat, you know. So for the last 14 days, you don't eat. Paul say, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food for the last 14 days. You haven't eaten anything. 34, but now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. I want you to write down, what do you need to survive? Keep the sailor on board, number one. Secondly, you need to eat fruit to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. And then he broke it and began to eat himself. And they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Although there was 276 of us on board, you know why would they know there's 276? Because when they prepare food and ate, they told us that we're going to over 100 people in the barbecue. We are not in the ship, you know. We can prepare food at home, right? It's still a lot of messy work, right? We have involved a lot of people to prepare that. Not for 276 people. It's only for over 100 people. Am I right, Ada? Okay? So they count the number of people and then they prepare the food. Although there were 276 of us on board, when they were all eating as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. They throw the cargo, the grain into the sea. They don't need that. Okay? Because they know that they're going to hit a ground, right? Hopefully it's not rock, okay? Verse 39, when daylight came, they did not realize the land, but they saw a bay with sandy beach. Thanks God, it's a sandy beach. It's not a rocky beach. If it's rocky beach, 276 people will be dead. Where they decided to run the ship aground, just like what Paul said, if they could. Cutting loose the anchor, they left them in the sea. They don't need it. And at the same time, untie the rope that held the rudder that controlled the direction of the ship. When they hoist the foresail to the wind and make for the beach, verse 41, but the ship struck a sandbar thankfully and ran aground. The bows stuck fast and would not move at the front of the ship. And the stern of the ship was at the end of the ship was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoner to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. Why? The sailor know that. It's a Roman law. If you lost any prisoner, the soldier will lose their own life. Do you know that in New York, there's two prisoner escape? If it's according to Roman law, they're supposed to lose their life too. Verse 43, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life. This time, the centurion realized Paul is a God's servant. He wanted to spare his life and kept all other people follow what Paul say. 276 people, not one hair, a single hair from his head will be lost. So that's why the centurion, after listening to Paul's advice, kept all prisoner life alive. Kept them from carrying out their plan. Don't allow them to kill them. And then the centurion ordered those who could swim to jump aboard first and to get to land. The rest to get there on plank or on pieces of the ship because it was broken. In this way, everyone, 276 people, reached the land in safety. I have 5 minutes, so I'm not going to talk about obedience. Like the Aristarchus, obedience, obey to the Lord's word. Anyone who received the apostle will receive the apostle blessing. Anyone who receive a Christian will receive a Christian blessing. Anyone who receive a righteous man will receive the righteous man blessing. And you know that. So I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to concentrate on disobedience bring great losses. First of all, you lost the ship. Secondly, you lost your cargo. Finally, you keep going doing your own thing. You can lose your life. In the midst of the whole situation in the voyage, Paul helped them all along. Give them warning. First warning, don't go, but they go, right? Secondly, tell them to keep the sailor on board. They keep the sailor on board. That's why the life was saved. Thirdly, eat to survive. They eat. And finally, what happened? 276 people is alive. Can you imagine if one people gets sick and cause all other people will die too? You understand? Thanks God. Paul is a good and faithful servant of God. He knows God's word. And he preached God's word. All those people who listened to him spared losses. Although they lost the ship, although they lost the cargo, especially the owner of the ship suffered great loss, but you know what? He knows God. And he knows God's servant now. And probably he will turn to God. And tomorrow, Acts chapter 28, and we see how God sustain Paul and bless Paul. By blessing Paul, according to 2 Corinthians, if I get comfort, Paul say, you get comfort. If I get rescue, you get rescue. If I get blessing, you get blessing. Because he will pass along to us. He will tell us how to get it. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. For you are a great God. And use your servant, Dr. Luke, to write the voyages, the disastrous voyages. But in the end, a lot of people come to know you. Ship is not important. Cargo is not important. Life is more important. In those days, they disobey you and they suffer great losses. And now they learn the lesson. And hopefully, through these disastrous voyages, they come to know Jesus. They know who is God's servant. And they believe in his message, for the Lord will fulfill the prediction of the messenger. For the Lord will carry out every word that utter from his mouth. And that's exactly how he separates the godly from the ungodly. And I pray that you help us to understand and realize what you say will be fulfilled. And just like what Paul said, I know that the angel of the Lord was sent by Jesus Christ. Whatever he told me, it will happen exactly what he told me. And when he carried it out and saved the 276 people, and they are all happy. And in the end, when the soldier want to carry out their wicked plan, try to save their own life by killing the prisoner, and the centurion protect Paul. By doing so, not one of them, we lost their life. We give you thanks. God, you are faithful God. We know that when you carry out your plan, Satan will oppose it. Through the soldier saying, but also you through the saying of the centurion, Paul's life and all the other prisoners' life will be spared. I give you thanks. Every minute detail, whatever you say, will be carried out. Help us to have that faith. Help us to live not by sight, but by faith in the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.